Well, good morning, everyone. It is really a privilege and an honor to be here with you again this morning. And you're not going to learn Hebrew this morning. Okay. But you are going to be involved. So it really is a privilege to be with you. And really what we are looking at is how to build robust faith in a fragile world. And this morning we're looking at relationships and how our relationships are fragile in this digital world that we find ourselves in. And really, this digital revolution is global, reaching the farthest corners of the world. It affects what we see, how we think, what we hear, how we interact with each other, and it even affects how we have our relationships with God and people. And so, more than ever before, we need to become wise if we're going to have a robust faith. And my goal over the time that I have this morning is to give us some handles, as it were, to navigate this digital world that we find ourselves in. Now, I want to begin our time together this morning by just doing a little bit of a thought exercise. And this is the thought exercise that I want you to do. Here is a question. If you want to send somebody a personal letter and you want to get that letter to them as quickly as possible, can you think of anything that is faster than a galloping horse? There we go. Can you think of anything that's faster than a galloping horse? Okay. So what is faster than a galloping horse if we want him to get this letter, this personal letter, handwritten letter to someone? Pigeon, okay. It's faster than a galloping horse, okay? Anyone else? Email, okay? Anyone else? Scan and email, okay? Anyone else? WhatsApp. A personal letter. Okay. We could have used an aeroplane. We could have used a boat. We could have used a bus. We could have used a courier service. But that's because we're living in today. Here's the thought. If you weren't living in today, in fact, if you were living 200 years back, you wouldn't answer email, car. It would be a galloping horse. You see, throughout, whether it was with Abraham wanting to pass on a letter to someone in the Ur of Chaldees, it would be a horse. If Jonathan Edwards was wanting to send a letter in the 1800s, it would be a horse. There was nothing faster than a galloping horse up until about 200 years ago. The next thing that came after the horse was the iron train, the iron locomotive, the iron horse, the train. And then after the train came the car, motorbike, and things like that. But all of this technology has really happened within the last 200 years. And then if we get even closer to where we are today, the technological communication systems, the way we're able to communicate with each other, has just rapidly increased in an exponential manner. We don't have these brick cell phones anymore, remember? We have little devices that fit into our pockets. You know, they are more powerful than what the technology was used to land a person on the moon in our pockets. So really, I want us to understand in regards to this whole thing that horses matter. You see, we're living in a world where we've got to think differently. We have to think and come to terms with who we are and where we are. every year we expect a new version of whatever it is. We never stop being amazed at this newest technology. You know, the latest craze is not the smartphone, by the way. This year we're going to be seeing foldable phones. Anyone interested in having one of those? Okay. They are now folding the phones. In fact, there is so much technology happening now that if you want your TV, you can roll it up and put it in your pocket. They can roll it out and then stick it on a wall. TV is truly mobile. And I think it's really amazing to be a Christian in this day and age. And we should not be averse to technology. We shouldn't be scared to technology. It brings about new opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Every new technology brings new ways of us being able to glorify God. And I think that we need to be responsible with regards to how we use technology. Now, I'm going to hone in on how we use technology in a digital world in regards to our relationships. And I really want us to understand that, firstly, technology, I think, is a gift from God. In fact, all technology is a gift from God. But it's been affected by man's fall. It's been affected by our rebellion against God. The fall has impacted all of creation. From the time of the Tower of Babel, where we were able to use technology in building towers, we had evil rebellion and purpose in our hearts, namely to live without God. John Dyer points out in his book, From the Garden to the City, he says, technology is one of the chief means by which humans attempt to create a world without God. As our technology grows more and more powerful, so the illusion of control becomes increasingly convincing. Now, I want to make two points this morning. Number one, I think God is not against technology, and I don't think that we should be too. We don't, in essence, need to become like the Amish and reject technology, especially digital technology. Throughout history, whether it was Noah using the technology of the ark, or it was the scribes putting together words onto sacred scriptures, or even the early Christians using the Roman road network to spread the gospel, Christians have used technology effectively to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. So we should not be afraid of it. We need to understand it, and we need to understand how we can harness it. So we should never be afraid of it. The second point that I want to make this morning is that all of humankind, from Adam and Eve to you and me, were created by the relationship of the Trinity, for the relationship with the Trinity, and relationship with one another. And this is important to understand. You see, people, I believe, are God's greatest treasure. And relationship is His greatest gift. Last week, Craig mentioned that Christianity is essentially a relational. And it starts with the person of Jesus Christ. And it is lived out in the real world with real people. Jesus said this, though, in John 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and live it abundantly. So my simple faith says this. If relationship is God's greatest gift to us, and it is His most important, and we are His most important treasure, then literally Satan is hell-bent on destroying relationships. Because his desire is to destroy everything and anything that is sacred to God. And relationships is key. This morning, I want to share some of the bad news. My mentor, Michael Cassidy, says whenever you are sharing the gospel, you have to make people aware of the bad news before you give them the good news. And there is bad news in regards to this because of our tendency to what technology does is it just opens up the inner parts of our hearts. And if that has not been redeemed, it can turn very quickly into something that's rebellious. So in regards to technology, the first rebellion that we went through and the first rebellious action is addiction. Our digital devices are causing an addiction. In preparing for this, I found an incredibly sad story that happened in South Korea in 2010. A couple, a young couple, were sent to prison because they were responsible for the death of their three-month-old child. What had happened is that they were so addicted to playing a virtual reality game and taking care of their virtual child that they would go to the shop, the internet cafe, because they weren't employed, and they would go there for 12 hours at a time, feeding and taking care of their virtual baby while ignoring their actual baby. And they only reported the passing of this child 5 months after it actually had happened. And it was the autopsy report that found out that this child died because of malnutrition. They were so addicted that they didn't care about reality. Now, I know that this is an extreme example. And we're not going to be like that. But the truth of the matter is that all our electronic devices today have been geared in such a way, and there is technology, there's research indicating that the light that is emitted from these devices actually affects our brain's frontal cortex. Okay? That's the place where all functioning, impulse control, and executive functions take place. And it affects it in the same way that drugs do. Hardcore drugs like heroin does. Some people are calling these things digital cocaine. Because it just numbs our senses. And we become so addicted to it that we lose all sense of responsibility. And society and city leaders are starting to see how dangerous this is. And I'm going to show you one of the solutions that they're coming up with. Just take a look at this video. I just love that they are modernizing infrastructure to keep up with our evolving society. The truth is that we are becoming so addicted to our devices. What starts off as 10 minutes becomes 20 minutes, becomes 30 minutes, becomes 40 minutes, becomes a pattern because we are taking in this digital cocaine and we're not even realizing it. That's the first bit of bad news. The second bit of bad news is that digital relationships and digital world is causing alienation. See, living in a digital world with all of its attraction is actually profoundly dehumanizing. In terms of relationships, the digital world and its technology is overloading our human support systems and turning us into passive consumers. See, while we are the most connected generation in society and in human history, we are also the most disconnected generation in human society. See, children are growing up in this generation and they're being grooved to perceive that technology and its media are the most effective and fashionable way to communicate. We forget that people actually matter. We would rather communicate with a digital device than talk face to face. And it's having a negative effect on our social well-being. So much so that we get depressed if we don't get a like on our Facebook page. You know, I'm not knocking Facebook. I have a Facebook account. And I really like it when on my birthday and whatever the case may be, I get that little like. It makes me feel good. But it's actually dehumanizing in many respects. Where has the ability gone for us to actually just pick up the phone and say happy birthday? To send the card and say happy birthday? Or to even go and sit down and visit the person on their birthday? These are things that we can do. We don't need horses. We have our own horses. But yet we choose to alienate ourselves from these things. And it's affecting our children. And we can't blame the children. It's parents. It's the adults themselves. It's the adults that are bringing the cell phones to the table, that are texting at the table, that are engaging like that picture indicates. Where I'm too busy to have relationship, even though my daughter is right next to me. Something needs to be said when someone like Steve Jobs, when he was interviewed on the launch of the iPad in 2010, when he was asked, do you have one for your kids? And he said, no. We don't allow any digital devices into our home because we don't yet know the full impact that it's making on society. Do you know another tech giant, Bill Gates, refused for his children to have cell phones until they were at least 14 years old? And there is no, he's in one of the most digitally devoid tech houses in the world. We'd think that there would be a button for everything in his house. His house is not digitally connected because he knows that it has an effect on our relationships. It's really bad news. And I'm seeing the faces getting sadder and sadder, which means that I'm getting this thing across. Okay. The third one is the allocation of time. Okay. Are we back on now? I know this is none of you. Sitting in the office desk daydreaming and playing with paper aeroplanes. But the truth of the matter is that we live in a digital world. And what I want to do right now is just show you how we spend our time every day. South Africa, in regards to the internet, the average time spent per hour, you might not be able to see it, is 6 hours, 42 minutes. It's not 6 minutes, 42 seconds. The global average for people being on the internet is 6 hours and 42 minutes. South Africa is the fifth highest in the world. We spend 8.5 hours on the internet. Okay. Now, granted, it could be for good. It could be for work, because when I first saw that, I'm going, well, it's because I'm at work for 8 hours. There we go. Okay. But this is how it looks like in South Africa. Of the 57 million people, 98 million devices. So we have more than one device, digital device. And we have 31 million people who have got access to internet, and 23 million people that use social media, and 22 million use it exclusively on their phone. This is the devices. Now, I want you to raise your hand, if you can see that, and say, I've got at least one device. Keep your hand up if you have at least two devices. Keep your hand up if you have three devices. Okay, like me. Keep your hand up if you have more than five devices. Okay. What does that say? As a church, we are digitally connected. Okay. And there is opportunity to waste time if we do not redeem it, because this is how we spend our time during the day. Remember, we've got 8.5 hours on the internet. If that's not bad enough, we spend 2.5 hours socializing via WhatsApp, Facebook, and other devices, or other platforms, nearly 3 hours in a day. We then also spend nearly 3 hours. This is not normal TV. This is streaming TV. Nearly 3 hours a day. And then on top of that, because we are so good at multitasking, we can spend an hour and 13 minutes listening to music. So we are becoming incredibly cluttered. Our time has been taken up. But remember, I'm not blaming technology. I'm not blaming digital stuff. But remember, I think Satan is allowing this stuff to destroy relationship. And none more so than when it comes to temptation itself. And the greatest form of temptation that we have is not Facebook. Because, you know, Facebook in itself, once again, I'm not knocking Facebook. But when we see the snippets of life, we can become jealous of going, hey, why are they going on that holiday to Europe and not me? Why do they always seem to be having wonderful times out at restaurants and I can't afford, you know, to even have, you know, a takeout, you know, and the takeout is open the can and eat the beans, you know. We begin to rate our lives based on the slices of other people's lives. That's called covetousness. Okay? It becomes jealousy. We might even begin to gossip in regards to other people's lives and photos and stuff like that. That's not the greatest sin, folks. This is the greatest sin. Pornography. Pornography is the most dehumanizing, relationship-destroying invention that we've ever come up with. And I found this information on Pornhub, which is the biggest online porn portal in the world. Last year alone, they had 33.5 billion visits. Do you know what that means? To break it down per day. Every man, woman, and child in South Africa, in Lesotho, in Swaziland, in Namibia, in Botswana, in Zimbabwe, and 30% of Mozambique will visit that site every single day. 92 million hits. The amount of traffic that this one portal receives was more than the entire internet bandwidth in 2002. If you were, and I'm not recommending this, if you were to just watch the stuff that was loaded up in 2018, if you wanted to get through all of it, you would have to go back 115 years. The time when the Wright brothers first made flight, if you were going to get through all of the content loaded up in 1 year, last year, on this website. That's incredible evil. And we are potentially exposing ourselves and our children with each digital device. Each time we're on the internet. Each time we're flipping through the pages. The opportunity for this to come into our lives and destroy relationships is huge. That's the bad news. But we're going to have some good news. We're going to have some good news in regards to our relationships in this digital world. We can bring about redemption. And I'm so glad that Jesus Christ brings about redemption. He is all about redemption. And we need to become wise, and we need to be able to take some practical steps. And Christy is going to be able to speak more about this next week. But I just want us to start getting a highlight of how we can actually overcome these rebellious, relationship-destroying tactics that are opening into our lives and how we can redeem them. So when it comes to addiction and wasting time, the best way, the most redeemed way, is to exercise what I call disciplined discernment. Romans 12, verse 1 to 2 says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may test and discern what the will of God is, what his good, pleasing, and acceptable will is. You see, we need to understand what counterfeit relationships look like. And the only way that we can know what counterfeit relationships look like is if we begin to experience genuine relationship. And genuine relationship that is redeemed always starts off in the person of Jesus Christ, because he is our model of how we are to treat each other in love and in kindness. He is the one that says the greatest of the commandments is this: love God and love your neighbor. We are losing the ability to connect with our neighbors. And so we need to be able to redeem this through disciplined discernment. We need to understand what is counterfeit in relationship. You know that when they employ people to go and work at a bank, the way that they train them to spot counterfeit money is that they don't give them counterfeit notes, because they would be continuously coming up with different counterfeit notes. What they do is that they allow them to touch the real thing, get familiar with the real thing over and over and over and over and over again, so that the minute the counterfeit comes in, they know what it feels like. And we need to be the same. We need to bathe ourselves through just discipline of being able to switch off these devices and have face-to-face interactions. Be disciplined. And we'll learn more strategies next week. But do you understand this disciplined discernment? We need to know what discernment is. And discernment is the ability to choose and have know what is good, the difference between good and bad. Then the second one The second redemptive act, and this really is the cure for alienation, is to practice dedicated connection. The Bible is continuously filled with passages of Scripture that shares the importance and tells the importance of being able to connect with one another. Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25 says this: and let us consider how to stir up one another, and to love and to do good works, not neglecting to meet together as some are in the habit of doing, but to encourage one another, and by all the more doing this as we see the day drawing near. The best way for us to connect, the best way for us to grow spiritually, is not to just to listen to podcasts of great sermons. It's to actually interact with each other. To sit down and have uninterrupted meal times. Have uninterrupted conversations. Turn the phone off. Because each time we hear that ding, ding, we want to know, what am I missing out on? And the truth of the matter is that you're not missing out on much. But that simple interruption is breaking the connection with the relationship that you're having. And in many respects, it's telling that individual, you are not as important as this piece of plastic and glass. So we need to be dedicated to the connection. So this afternoon, visit a friend. Sit around a table as a family and have a meal together. Switch off the devices and just learn to be. You know that schools are running programs more and more now just to teach not only the kids but the parents the importance of digital detoxification, because we are sick and relationships is paying the price. Even our relationship with God. Personal confession time. I read my Bible every day. I read it electronically, so I know that I have this hot streak going because it tells me you've interacted so many times. And it feels good. But you know what I've begun to realize? Is that I'm losing memory. I forgot the other day which way in the Old Testament to go to find a book. Is it left or is it right? Because on a phone, it's just up. There it is. You see, we need to, in essence, get back to just reading the word. Paper. Because it breaks our, you know, it allows us to learn more effectively. So my own challenge for me is when I come into church, I'm leaving my cell phone in the car. And I'm coming with a physical Bible. This with the guy who has every one of those five and more than five devices. Okay. It's just a practical thing that I'm starting to do because I'm beginning to realize, hey, I'm not as connected with God as I'd like to be. And so I'm going back to old faithful basics. Then the third and final step that will help us redeem our relationships and conquer the issue of the temptation of sin is to practice what I call righteous accountability. Righteous accountability. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 to 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help up the other, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Thessalonians 5, verse 11 says this, encourage one another and build each other up. The best way that we can do this is through accountable relationships that we can have with our fellow human beings. That builds trust. It builds relationship. It draws us and allows for spiritual growth to take place. We need to have an accountability brought back into our lives, especially in regards to our digital devices. And if you battle with this, believe me, there are some apps that help you with this. They send out reports to an accountability partner saying, hey, this is a questionable site that's been visited. Or this is the amount of time that they're spending on Facebook. Okay, so what that really is doing is that it's encouraging you to become accountable for your actions. And that is what God asks us to do all the time. Be accountable for your actions. Be it a spiritual action or a physical action. And that is something that the world hates. We hate to be accountable. But one day, the chickens are going to come home to roost. And if we don't build this accountability into our lives, we're going to find that we are a nation, we are a society that is so alienated from each other, that even though we sit next to each other in church, we don't know their name, we don't know the family, we don't know our own friends, we don't know our own identity because it's been robbed. I know this is supposed to be a good, uplifting message. And I hope it has been. I hope that it's woken your eyes up to the fact that relationships are key. We cannot run away from technology, but we need to become more and more disciplined if we're going to have fruitful relationships in our lives. But it takes responsibility. Let's pray. Yes, Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord. And we thank you for technology, Lord. We thank you for the fact that you allow us to use technology in many diverse ways to proclaim your name, Lord, and to express our creativity. But at the same time, Lord, it can bring about destruction to our very souls, Lord. And Lord, even in your word, you reminded us and you challenged us, Lord, in saying, what does it profit a man that he gains the whole world, but he loses his soul? And so I pray, Lord, that we would not lose our soul, that we would not lose our relationships because of this digital world that we find ourselves living in, Lord. It's something that we cannot run away from, Lord, but we can certainly run to you. And as we surrender our lives anew to you today, Lord, may you be the one that redeems our digital world, our relationships in a tangible way, Lord. We ask this in your precious and almighty name. Amen.